If you found your place there in Psalm 142, I'd ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Psalm 142, David writes, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, thank You that we can trust You, Lord. Thank You that we can trust You when things are going well just as much as when things are not going so well. Thank You, God, that You have given us the holy Word of God, which contains for us many examples of other saints who have gone on before, who have demonstrated on the mountaintop just as much as in the valley that there is always hope found in God. I pray this morning that our hope would be strengthened in You, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, fellowship or friendship is certainly a desire of all mankind. God said in the Garden of Eden, it is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, He created him an helpmeet. God desired fellowship, which is part of the reason why He created you and me. And yet, all too often, the bond of fellowship and friendship among other fellow human beings is broken. According to the Administration for Children and Families, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, back in 1998, approximately 31,000 babies were abandoned. In Virginia, as of last year, there are 107,602 children living in grandparent-headed households. That's 6.2% of all children in the state of Virginia. There are another 31,076 children living in households headed by other relatives. It's another 1.8% of all children in the state of Virginia. Of the children living in households headed by grandparents or other relatives in Virginia, 56,663 children are living there without either mother or father. The UNICEF organization stated that of white children born since 1980 in the United States, about 50% will spend some part of their childhood in a single parent family. And for other minorities, the proportion is about 80%. Add to these numbers the hundreds of thousands of husbands and wives whose spouses walk out on them, and you have a country that is replete with those who have been abandoned. But is there hope? Is there comfort? Is there strength? Or is it simply some type of political slogan that may be employed when it's convenient? Praise God, this morning I hold in my hands the inspired, infallible Book of Hope, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, which contains hope for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever walked the face of the earth or ever shall face God someday, right here in this book. And yet the psalmist here finds himself a difficult time in his life. If you look at the title to this psalm, which is equally a part of the scriptures, it says Maskil, which simply means instruction, of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. We know from 1 Samuel chapter 22 and 1 Samuel chapter 24, two specific caves that David spent some time in, the caves at Adullam and also at En Gedi. Back on our trip that we took to the Holy Land in June, we drove past the area of En Gedi, which is right next to the Dead Sea, a very barren, desolate area. And there in that cave, David finds himself abandoned. He finds himself, humanly speaking, without much hope. But praise God, there's quite a bit that you and I can learn from his reaction to the abandonment that he encountered. There's a lot that we can practice in our lives today in 2008 if we will look carefully at the words that he wrote when he was in the cave. First of all, we see that there is a cry from his heart. Look with me in verse 1 where it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. You know, when we think about coming before God and we think about finding ourselves in rather difficult times, there is a lot of comfort in crying out in an audible voice from our heart to God and letting Him know the struggle, the abandonment, the heartbreak, the pain, the anguish, the difficulty that we may be feeling. Think with me to the Garden of Gethsemane, where our Savior, Jesus Christ, cried out. The Bible says, His soul, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, when you think about praying audibly, sometimes it does us a lot of spiritual good to simply express with our mouths before a holy, righteous God, alone with Him, say, Lord, I'm downtrodden right now. God, I'm hurting. Lord, the ones that I trusted, the ones that I loved, those in whom I had put my human confidence have left me. I'm all alone. To cry out before God. And as you cry out before a holy God, we realize that a holy God can hear as no one else can. Jonah had a similar response. When he writes in Jonah chapter 2 and in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Sometimes when we think about praying before God, you wonder, could anybody really comprehend what my heart feels like right now? How it feels trampled, broken, perhaps bleeding. And yet, there is one who can comprehend. There is one who knows. There is one who cares. And that, my friend, is the God of all hope. It says here that as he poured out his heart before the Lord, he poured out his complaint and showed him his trouble. Now, for you and me to see the word complaint, we think of something as negative. But actually, if we were to go back and see what the meaning of that word, it's not that he was complaining of God or complaining of man in our modern day vernacular, but rather that his mind had meditated on his condition. He had taken time and was reflecting on what it was like to find himself not in the palace, not in the king's house, not there surrounded by all of his servants, not there with his fellow soldiers at his side, ready to defend him at a moment's notice, but all alone in a cave, cried out before God, meditating on his condition and sharing with God what it was like to be where he was at that exact moment. psalmist tells us in Psalm 55, verse 2, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. But as he had poured out his complaint and showed the Lord his trouble, he found comfort. He found comfort in knowing that God knows everything about his situation. Look with me in verse 3. The Bible says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. That word overwhelmed is an interesting word because it means to cover as with a garment. To cover as with darkness or trouble or sorrow. To languish. To be faint or feeble. Psalmist says in Psalm 77 in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. In verse 4 of the next Psalm, Psalm 143, it says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. We can thank God that He has created us as emotional beings and has allowed us to express those emotions. We think of Jesus Christ Himself expressing emotions when He was here on earth, as He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, as He wept over Jerusalem, as those that were rejecting the message of the gospel. We know that He hungered and He had thirst, and He knew what it was like to not have a place where to lay His head. And so here we find the psalmist is saying, it's as though everything negative, everything dark, all of this trouble is just totally covering up my soul. And he's telling God this. He's pouring it all out before Him. But he realizes, God, You know my path. Have you ever gone to the doctor before and tried to describe the pain that you have? And finally, you just give up because you realize he's not going to understand what you're trying to describe to him. Now he says, well, is it this? Well, not exactly. Well, is it over here? Well, sort of. Well, does it hurt at this time? Well, sometimes. He just downright can't always figure things out. But you know, when we go to God and we tell the Lord how overwhelmed we may feel, how trouble seems to surround us on every side, that praise God, He knows all about my pain. Amen. He knows the sense of abandonment that I may feel. And because of that, I can share with Him my innermost thoughts and hurts. He says, in the way wherein I've walked, they have they privily laid a snare for me. This has the sense of the unknown or the surprise element. He said, I'm going down my path, I'm going out where I planned on going, and yet unbeknownst to me, they have come and set a trap for me. They've caught me off guard. They've caught me by surprise. Those in whom I had trusted, those in whom I had placed my confidence, those that I was counting on to be there for me when I needed them the most, they're the ones that have abandoned me. They're the ones that have come and set that trap for me. They're the ones that have left me all by myself. My heart is breaking, he says. God, I know You know this. Lord, You're aware of my condition. God, You're aware of my position. You know exactly where I am. Not only did the cry come from his heart, but it also came from his right hand. Here in verse 4, he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. What had happened here is he had looked to the right hand, and that's typically thought of as the sense of protection. If someone was to guard you or someone was to protect you or defend you, they are referred to in the Bible as being at your right hand. And he said, I looked there and I beheld and there was no one there. I'm all alone. I'm all by myself. I don't have anyone that I can look to. He had lost hope in what is visible. He said, there isn't anyone who cared for my soul, who sought after my soul, who was concerned for my needs, for my hurts, for my pains. He's crying out from his right hand and saying, where's the one that will pick me up? Where's the one that will comfort me? Where's the one who will come alongside me and wrap their arms around me and say, it's going to be okay? Where's the one who will hold my hand and say, yes, I'll go through this dark valley by your side? Where's the one that will be a companion when things are tough, just as much as when things are fine? I don't see anyone. I'm all alone. I don't see that person that would take an interest in my soul. So what does he do when he cannot see any help? He cries out to the invisible one, to God Almighty. He cries unto the Lord. And in verse 5, he says, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He's cried from his heart. He's cried from his right hand. And now he cries out for hope. He cries out for hope. This word refuge is an interesting word here in verse 5. Because although it does not reflect it in our English Bibles, the word refuge in verse 5 and the word refuge in verse 4 are not from the same word. They do have similar meanings. However, the word refuge in verse 5 is used in Jeremiah chapter 17 and also in Joel chapter 2 and is translated hope. And what he's saying is, all around me, what was safe and secure, the refuge where I could go, it's all gone. But in God, I find hope. In God, I find someone who is concerned for me. The psalmist says in Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Kyle and Delitzsch say that the word portion there means the share in a possession that satisfies him. That is, as he reflects on his condition, as he thinks of the cry of his heart, as he's pouring his soul out before God, he takes back, a step back to assess his situation. And he realizes, God, you are my hope. God, you are my refuge. And furthermore, God, you are my portion. Of anything that I have of any value at all, you are it, God. You are the most important thing in my life. Sometimes when we find ourselves abandoned, we tend not to respond as the psalmist. And we tend to look at God and somehow imply that God has abandoned us. And yet what ought to be our response is that of the psalmist, that of David, who can say, oh, although others have abandoned me, although others have left me, my God remains my refuge. My God remains my strength. My God is the one who is all that I have. Amen. Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You know what is wonderful for the child of God today? When we think about this life on earth, which right now may seem like an eternity, but if we could step back and look at it in light of real eternity, we would realize that it is but a blink of the eyes. And that someday, for those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness of all of our sins, we can expect to spend eternity in the presence of the all-living God, where we will dwell with Him forever and ever. What is the hope that is found in God? It is refuge. It is refuge for the fatherless. The psalmist says in Psalm 68, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verses 9 and 10, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me. Then the Lord will take me up. You see, God can take that place in our life. God can fill that void. God can heal that hurt. God wants to give you refuge in your time of trouble. The psalmist continues and says in verse 6, attend unto my cry, I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. He knew that there were those that were around him that could easily overcome him. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And in verse 16, David again writes, he sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You see, that's why the psalmist could reflect on others that were out there that were trying to destroy him. Perhaps friends who had become enemies. Perhaps those that he had counted on now seeking to kill him. Can't imagine what it must have been like for David to have been a close friend of Jonathan, to have been there in the king's house, in the palace, watching Saul, enjoying Saul's company as the father of his best friend, and then realizing over a period of time that Saul had now become his number one enemy. How to kill him? For something he had never done, simply for being the Lord's chosen one. Can't imagine what it must have been like to know that he wasn't just out to destroy his reputation, but Saul was out to kill him. Saul wanted to put an end to this David. And yet David in these dark times was able to go to God and say, Lord, that enemy is certainly strong, but God, You are my refuge. You are my hope. You are all that I have. You alone are my portion. He knows that there is hope in God. Then he also knows that his brothers and sisters in Christ are there. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Of course, we realize when we talk about the family of God in the Old Testament, they were anticipating the Messiah who would come, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And yet in the Old Testament, there were those who were very clearly set apart for God. Men and women of faith, as we've enjoyed preaching through Hebrews chapter 11. Those whose lives were characterized by a consistent walk with God. And he says, I realize that those fellow believers around me, fellow believers in Jehovah, the one true God, they too are all around me. I'm not alone. We think today of why it is so important to be a member of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Because in this world, there are plenty of people that may walk out on you. There are those that may abandon you forever. Praise God, when you come to God's house, you can find other brothers and sisters in Christ who genuinely care about you.
Amen.
It's fun to meet on a Wednesday night and to solicit prayer requests and to take those prayer sheets home and to pray for those who are sick, to pray for those who are struggling economically, to pray for those who have unsaved loved ones, and to take a genuine interest in the hurts and troubles and difficulties of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul reminds us of this when he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, when you find yourself abandoned, and you cry out from your heart, you cry out from your right hand, not having anyone there, you can continue and cry out for hope, and you will find hope in God. And as you relish that hope comes from God, you can rejoice at knowing His promises will never fail. The last thing he says in the psalm is, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Remember what the Lord told Joshua, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Remember what Isaiah wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior.
Amen.
We think, as is reflected in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, the remembrance of what God had already said in the Old Testament. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No, an abandoned person naturally has a lack of trust. They have a lack of nurturing. An abandoned person may have a hard time learning to love. But keep in mind, as the Bible reminds us in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Others may fail you. Others may abandon you. Others may walk out on you. But your God will never, under any circumstances, forsake you as one of His own. The songwriter said, the world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when my friends are all gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I tread the road of care, my Savior helps me carry the cross so heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness, earthly joys all flown, my Savior whispers His promise, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. He'll claim me for His own. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Perhaps this morning, you have forgotten that God has dealt bountifully with you. And as a result, you have a hard time thinking that in the future, He will deal bountifully with you. If you're here this morning as a child of God, God has dealt very bountifully with you in forgiving your sins and in preparing a home for you in heaven. But perhaps you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to come to this altar where all of your sins can be forgiven through putting your faith and trust, not in yourself, but in the God of hope. Maybe today you are hurting and you need to look back and say, God, I know You haven't failed me. Lord, I know You haven't abandoned me. God, You have not forgotten about me. And God, You know my path right now, right here where I am, no matter how overwhelmed I may feel. God, I know You are going to deal bountifully with me yet in the future. Perhaps tonight or this morning as a child of God, you'd say, I'm not abandoned. My friends haven't left me. My family is here. Maybe you could look around as some of the crowd of righteous ones that compass about those that have been abandoned. Find someone who's hurting and just go up and put your arm around them and say, listen, I care. I may not know everything you're going through right now. I may not be able to ever fully comprehend the pain that you feel. But I want you to know one thing. I care. I love you as my brother, sister in Christ. I want you to know I want to be here for you. Maybe it's a phone call you could make this week. Maybe it's a note you could send to someone. Maybe it's somebody right now that at the conclusion of this service, you could invite them out for a time of fellowship, for a meal. Have them over tonight after the evening service. Set up an appointment to get with them this week. Say, listen, I know you're going through a hard time, but I care. And above all this morning, may every single one of us look to the God of hope. If you find yourself abandoned, do as the psalmist did and cry out to God. Pour out your heart to Him. Find refuge in Jehovah. Reclaim the promises found in His Word and rejoice in the family of God that you have in His house. May all of us who are part of God's family rejoice in the promise of a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.